call to order the May 4th meeting of the Sussex County Council. The approval of the agenda is first. Mr. Baker?
Thank you. I'd like to suggest that under executive session, we delete pending potential litigation and land acquisition.
We still have the executive session?
Yes, for personnel.
Okay.
Any other changes? Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Approval of the minutes in your packet were the April 27th minutes. Are there any changes? If not, I'll consider them approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have two letters. The first is to the Sussex County Council from the Lower Sussex NAACP. We would like to take time to thank you for your financial support of our NAACP Youth Council. Thanks to you, we were able to travel and host programs that are beneficial to young people and their communities. There are many pressing issues throughout our country that affect young people, and we want to be a part of the solution. Your support ensures that we can continue to make a positive impact at the local level. Upcoming events that we're involved in include the Relay for Life and a leadership training workshop. The trip to Rhode Island was very informative, and we have our national convention in the summer. And then it goes on to discuss other programs, and then concludes with, again, thanking Sussex County Council for the generosity and support of the cause. Also have a letter from Peggy Geisler, Sussex Child Health Promotion Coalition. Dear County Council, I want to sincerely thank all of you for your support of our 2010 Spring into Health Community Walk. Over 1,300 families supported this year's walk at five locations throughout Sussex. These families came out to get an hour of exercise, but also received various health, literature, and screening information as well. Without the support of the County Council and our partners across the county, we could never reach so many children and their families. And again, they thank the county for their support. And that's all the correspondence, Mr. President.
Does Council have any correspondence they'd like to read? If not, we'll turn the meeting over to Mr. Baker.
Good morning. The first item is board appointments, and we have one board appointment for the Planning and Zoning Commission for consideration today. Mr. Wheatley's term expires in June. And,
that's my appointment, correct? I would move that Bob Wheatley be reappointed to Planning and Zoning. The term expires June 30th, 2013.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
No, I'm sorry. I can't vote for that.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The next item is the farmland preservation request, and in your packet was a letter from Mr. Edwin Key, Secretary of Department of Agriculture. And in his letter, he questioned whether or not the county would like to participate in the farmland preservation program during this fiscal year. His office is, again, evaluating various applications from farms, from, he said, about 55 farms throughout the county. And he would like to know if the county council would be interested in participating during this fiscal year. Funding for fiscal year 2010 would include a $3 federal match for each $1 locally provided. Last year, the state averaged a 71% discount for the purchase of development rights. If the county council was interested, like last year, at a later date, a listing of properties would be available in late May, early June for the county council to consider, which we do not have as of this date. We did expend $300,000 to this year to help preserve approximately 220 acres of farmland. Since 2003, the county has participated in this program and has helped preserve 2,691 acres of farmland. If the county council elects to consider participating in the program, then at a later date, again, Department of Agriculture will present to us a list of available properties, which we would review with the Sussex County Land Trust and come back with a recommendation, a specific recommendation. The budget this for current fiscal year 2010 does not include funding for open space. However, there are $1.1 million remaining from prior year funding for the purchase of open space and or the preservation of farmland.
I'll open the floor for discussion, Mr. Colt.
I would just say with the current crisis that we have, in my mind, there's a difference between farmland development rights and purchasing of open space. The key is purchasing. That when the state participates in purchasing, it gives public access. And I think when we spend county tax dollars, it ought to be a high priority to make sure there is public access. So I would say that, you know, with the $1.135 million, $1,135,000, whatever, that we keep that, and because you never know what, you know, if some choice pieces of ground where we could partnership to purchase land, and I think that ought to be our priority. So I would just make the suggestion that we, because the pressure for development right now is very low, that we ought to look towards making a purchasing a land a priority for public access. So that would just basically my comments. I've kind of held that position for years. Mm-hmm. And I think in the past where we've actually contributed to the land trust, and then we've used other monies for the farmland preservation, and maybe this year we don't have the funds available to do that. And like I said, anyway, just my thoughts. I don't know if anybody else.
Anyone else have comments?
Any concern?
I think we should do this. We don't have a transfer of development rights for farmers, and I think it gives them an opportunity that they deserve. I'm interested in the 3-for-1. It's federal money and state money matching the county money. Is that correct? What's the third entity?
Well, he indicated that the state has a small amount of funds available. He didn't explain exactly how much the state would contribute or if they would contribute any towards property that the county picked. I'm not clear on, but he did indicate that there is a federal grant money that runs through the state that would be available to match with a 3-to-1 ratio.
It would be interesting to find out how much the state is ready. You know, if it's so important, okay, where are they? You know, I mean,
funding it to some extent, and I think if they did, like last year, if they handled it last year, that they would use the state money to pick their and choose their own properties.
Well, I would just go back to your second page here, Dave, where you've got these, you know, we spent $300,000 and preserved approximately 220 acres of farmland in this county. In today's current economic situation, we could have spent zero and preserved 220 acres because there's very little development going on. A lot of it is actually reverting back to its AR1, you know, classification because they didn't follow through with it. So I would rather, again, hold our funding for purchasing of open space so that our county tax dollars and the county taxpayers can actually get access to some of this land that we are trying to preserve. Much more important, I believe.
Any other comments from council?
You know, I can just tell you that I know that my constituents are really strong for this state preservation program. And I would hope that the preserved land would be in Sussex County. That's the understanding, right? Okay.
Mr. Baker, has the Sussex County Land Trust weighed in on this?
They have not, no.
It may be worth putting it on their next agenda for their opinion. All right.
So we're not going to really take any kind of action at the council, right?
Unless I hear a motion.
Anybody? I mean, I didn't know if he was on for a motion. I'll make a motion. I don't know. We'll just see if there's any. I'll support that we use county funds this year for in this current budget for purchasing of open space, as opposed to other types of preservation methods like easements and development rights, et cetera. So my choice would be for purchase.
Okay.
So that would be a motion to limit the funding towards purchasing, partnershiping with state and other agencies.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. I have a motion and a second to limit the county's expenditures of taxpayers' dollars for the purpose of purchasing land in fee as opposed to buying development rights or other forms of preservation. Is there any further discussion before we take the vote?
Is it?
Mr. Wilson?
Should we think about it, maybe how much money we have to really spend? Mm-hmm. Do we know how much money we have in the budget to really spend for this?
We're not saying we have to spend any. I said any funds that would be spent, that's what the motion is. Any funds that we would allocate would have to be for purchasing of open space, not other methods of preservation that we're familiar with. So,
will we get the same help? Do we get the same help from the state, and the county, and the federal?
Typically, it's a federal.
Land preservation would open parks.
Usually, there's federal, state, and local funding, and then sometimes these other agencies step in. So, it's not limiting to.
I think Mr. Wilson's point is, do we know what partnering opportunities are out there, similar to what the Farmland Preservation is doing at the 3-to-1 ratio? And I don't know that. Do we have that answer, Mr.?
I do know that the state does have a program that has a 50% match for park, and they purchase of parks land, but it is limited in the amount of money they have available for it. But I'm not aware of another program.
Well, similar to that program where we're looking over there at the Nanticoke area, that they've got some of these funds that are going to help possibly with using it. I think that's a better way to go in this economic climate we're in, where we have limited funding. So,
Ms. Deaver, go ahead.
When do they need an answer?
Well, they asked for an answer in early March, by May 1st. I'm sorry,
May 1st.
I've talked to them last week and they were fine. I mean, I could probably wait till next week if you like. I could get an answer on the state funding as to whether or not they would contribute any towards of state dollars as well as federal. And how that works, and also check with the land trust.
I'd like to get that information.
Yeah, basically the approach I'm taking, Sam and Joan, is we don't know what may come available. There could be a piece of ground because of a death in the family or in a state or something, where all of a sudden it is a butts like trap pond or something like that, and there's a great opportunity to, you know, purchase. And the state is, again, have, you know, limited funds and stuff. So I'd rather hold our cards as opposed to buying development rights from farmers, which basically the transfer of funds goes from county tax dollars to the hands of that one farmer, and there's no public access. So, again, I think our tax dollars should be spent
George, there is an advantage, and I can see your side argument, I could be on your side argument. The opposite side. So,
are you an attorney?
I think there's two sides to this.
Yes, sir. There can be. Yes.
And I think, but the thing is, when you buy farmland,
you're not buying it. You're not buying.
Well, buying into it. You're controlling it.
You're not even controlling.
Yes, sir. They sure are. You do not develop farmland once it's put in preservation.
Okay.
But once it goes in preservation, we're buying that farmland probably $1,000, maybe $1,500 an acre. For total control, saying this farm will never be developed.
As a good conservative Republican, I don't like those kind of programs that buy development rights. I think it's kind of a sleight of hand trick. So
I'm not telling you.
You take your position,
George. I'm not telling you my position. I'm telling you what the story is.
I understand the story. I've heard their arguments
Let's one at a time talk. Mr. Wilson, you have the floor.
Well, I was trying to say here, you can buy farmland, and you might be able to buy several acres. And farmers are kicking their land. Actually, I think it's sometimes sort of a bad decision on the farmers that's putting this land into it, because I wouldn't want to sell my development rights for $1,500 an acre when later on it might be worth $100,000 an acre. I think they're giving up a lot of their rights, in a sense of speaking. So I kind of think that I look at people who like to see open land as a good deal, having open land. I'm not for going down the road and buying. Seeing open land and paying for taking my money and buying some else land so we can control it. I'm just not. I sort of take a side with George on his line of thinking,
But yet I'm trying to tell you there's another side here.
Sam, I am well aware.
Mr. Cole, please. Yeah, thank you.
Anyway, George wants the floor, so you go.
No, ahead. I just say I'm well aware of the arguments. I've heard the arguments. I just put more weight. When I have to weigh which argument I think is weightier, I put my support behind purchasing because I'm working with, not my money, Sam, I'm working with the taxpayers' money, and I think taxpayers ought to have access to any land we purchase, and we ought to be purchasing because you get a, that's for generation after generation.
Okay, can I?
So are you done, Mr. Cole?
Yeah, I know the argument, Sam.
You're done, Mr. Cole?
I am done.
Okay, Mr. Wilson.
I'd like to answer George's argument there. Well, anyway, George, I've heard you sit in this council many times arguing that you don't want to pass this ordinance here because it puts more people in the area. You want to, so I like open spaces. But what you're saying in another sense is you want to take that at the cost of that developer and put that in preservation without paying anything for it at all. And that's not fair to those people.
I don't understand that, but that's okay.
Am I over your head, George?
You are, sir. Yes, you are today. Today
just,
you are.
Just a minute. Let's. I think you two gentlemen have completed your argument, Ms. Deaver and Mr. Vincent.
Yeah, I really feel that if we're not going to do this, that we certainly should change our minds and have a transfer of development rights for farmers. Because I see one of the principal processes in our Sussex County land use plan is to help preserve farmland. That is one of the goals of our land use plan, to help preserve farmland in Sussex County. And this does it.
Thank you, Ms. Deaver. Are you finished?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
No comment.
We will take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
No.
Just to reiterate, this vote would limit our spending this year for open space to just the purchase of land in fee as opposed to other forms of preservation. Ms. Deaver votes no. Mr. Wilson?
Not voting.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I don't think I want to limit our options at this point. I vote no. Motion fails. Mr. Baker?
So
you can pursue the discussions with the Department of Agriculture about this. If they have a specific proposal they want to present us, we will consider it.
Okay.
Can I ask a question, Mr. Baker?
Mr. Vincent.
To spend any of this money takes 4/5 votes, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's where the right way to go is have Mr. Baker check it all out.
Thank you. Mr. Baker, continue, please.
Okay. The next item is the administrator's report, and we have several items to go over. First, Standard & Poor's Sussex County bond rating. As per the attached notice, Standard & Poor's rating service has reaffirmed its AA bond rating for Sussex County general obligation bonds outstanding. As per the report, Sussex County has a, quote, modest but diverse local employment base, a tax base still experiencing growth, continued strong financial performance, and low debt levels due to self-supporting utilities and a capital improvement program not expected to increase debt pressures, unquote. Standard & Poor's and Moody's periodically review the county's bond ratings for outstanding general obligation debt. Mrs. Webb and I talked to the bond Standard & Poor's bond rating official earlier this morning about to try to get some opinions from them in terms of what we could do to go to AAA, and that is something that we will work on. They did mention the overall economic climate of the county and the diversity in the economy, which is something that we've heard before from other bond rating people. They also mentioned they would like to see a more formalized financial policy in terms of how we use reserves and our debt, even though they felt that we've handled our financial policy has been very strong, as indicated, and just a AA rating is a very good rating. But to go to AAA, which only a few municipalities, relatively few municipalities have, they suggested that as an item. So that is something that Mrs. Webb and the Finance Department will be working on.
Good. Have we ever had a AAA?
No. We were single A, and then maybe 8 years ago, something like that, we were raised to double A by Standard & Poor's, and then Moody's raised us to double A.
It's excellent.
It's a very good, yeah, it's a very strong bond rating, and triple A is the very best.
Mm-hmm. My only concern would be then, as we just talked about, tying our hands a little bit, you know, and we're going into the future, is if we try to do certain things to get us to that triple A, which very few have, and it seems like double A is awfully good out there because so many counties probably don't have double A. You know, I mean, we're probably in a select group with double A, I would presume, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe that next step is not worth taking.
Well, that would be something we'll have to evaluate.
As we what it requires.
Something has to work for us, obviously.
Yeah, right.
Otherwise, it
may not be worth going to the effort to get to that next level.
Well, they're saying we don't have formalized procedures for the use of our reserve funds, right?
We
do have, I explained to the analyst today that, you know, in our budget ordinance, for instance, if we want to, if something came up, say there's an emergency storm or where there's a lot of expenditures that we did not anticipate, then it would require a four-fifths vote to the county council to spend money out of our undesignated reserves. And that's in our budget ordinance that has been approved each year. We have, we explained, how our debt, when we borrow money, we look at it very closely. We analyze, it's for a new sewer project, and we try to get the best deal possible. We have to go to referendum or public mm-hmm. hearing for a project. It's not, I think it's just a matter of putting that down on paper, some of the things we do and have done for years and years. And this is the first time I've heard that from an analyst.
Mm-hmm.
So, if that's that's something we can control fairly easily.
It'd be good to see that.
It's got to be something, but it also has to be something that doesn't tie our hands too much. And we will come back to the county council for your review of that.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item, Sussex County budget process. The county's budget committee has been working over the last few weeks on preparing the county budget for next fiscal year, 2011. The Sussex County recommended budget will be presented on May 18th with a public hearing to be scheduled on June 22nd. After the public hearing is closed, the county council can take action on the budget. At this point in time, the county budget committee does not anticipate staff pay reductions as some other local governments have recommended. The 2011 recommended budget will reflect savings made by various measures such as early retirements, cross-training, and retraining of employees to handle new responsibilities, and many savings implemented during the last year and a half by county staff. Substantial completion. The engineering department granted substantial completion to Americana Bayside Phase 10A on April 28th. The developer is Carl M. Freeman Communities, and the project is located in the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District, consisting of 13 single-family lots. Sussex County Council Prayer Breakfast reminder. The 33rd annual Sussex County Council Prayer Breakfast will be held May 11th, beginning at 7 a.m. at the Delmar Christian High School, 150 Airport Road, Georgetown, Delaware. Please contact Ms. Robin Griffith at 855-774-3 for tickets in advance. Thank you.
Okay, anything for the county administrator? Thank you, Mr. Baker.
Thank you.
Hal Godwin.
Mr. President, members of council, first thing this morning I'd like to review with you is our legislative update. I included in your Friday package a refreshed version of our legislative endeavors, and I just wanted to review them with you. It seems that this is a constantly moving target, so things change on an hourly basis sometimes. I have had some difficulty this morning, however, with my computer in my office, not able to access much of the state's information about today, so I'm not sure if I'll be going to the legislative hall later today or not, but let's go over the current bills that we're watching. House Bill 308 has been passed by both chambers in legislature and now waits for the governor's signature. This is the one that gives our county administrator the authority to appoint constables to enforce the dog control laws that we now have charge of.
So the word constable has an S on it, is what you're saying?
Yes.
From your thing?
Yes. This bill went a little further than that. It also allows our constables to not only do dog enforcement but other constable duties. So it could be the purpose for this is to allow Mr. Baker to assign those authorities to an outside contractor who provides dog control services only, but that person could also be doing some of the constable services that our constable does. And they think they did that because Kent County was really anxious to have that flexibility and authority, and it seemed to pass the muster with the legislature, so we have a little more authority than we actually asked for. House Bill 311 is a bill that we had some question about last week regarding what it really means, because it mentions giving the state's attorney general authority to enforce laws relating to manufactured home communities. After a little research, I found that as I went through the details in their ordinance in the bill, the House bill, that the state code that they're referencing has nothing to do with our authority. They're going to be doing enforcement, the Attorney General will be doing enforcement in relation to landlord-tenant issues and issues that are mostly contained to the relationship of the park and the tenants. So it won't be any law changes that would have an effect on our zoning or any of our ordinances or any of our jurisdiction. So I think we don't have to be so concerned about House Bill 311. Senate Bill 167 was one that I didn't have a clear answer for you last week. I apologize. This one exempts from taxation by local government real property owned by the Sussex County Habitat for Humanity. And Mr. President asked me to try and determine how many dollars would be involved in this tax forgiveness. Met with our folks in assessment to find that currently there are no properties in Sussex County owned by the Habitat for Humanity organization, and the last one that was owned by them was in 1997, and the property taxes were $48.72. So if this law were to be in effect, were to go into effect, that's being proposed, there'd be no immediate effect on us, and I think the effect would be rather small, because it doesn't appear that there's a tradition of Habitat owning property in our county. So I think our exposure to tax losses there would be rather minimal.
Mr. Godwin, if I could make a correction, please. Okay. There's been recently in the last several weeks two transfers as part of the stimulus money with our community development program to Habitat, the homes that are being rehabbed. They have probably not shown up on assessment records yet, but they will be turned around and sold almost immediately. So it'd be a very short window.
Period of time, yes. And once they're sold to a private owner, then they're back on our tax records. So it appears that our exposure would be rather minimal.
Yes.
And school taxes are also included in that then, right?
Well, it says local government. It just says exempt from taxation by local government, real property.
Do you think that means school taxes are exempted? We don't?
I really do not know.
Okay.
I'd have to check that out.
All right. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to us, but we collect them.
That's
so I'm
correct.
Saying if we don't send out a tax bill, then the school taxes don't get collected.
We could still send out a tax bill that had the school portion of the tax,
right,
but it would be exempted on the county portion.
I guess we do that. Okay. Yeah, I guess we would. Okay.
The next issue, House Bill 333, is our bill, of course, that will give us the authority to enforce sewer connections to our sewer system through the JP Court as well as the Court of Chancery. That bill has passed the House, and it has not yet been assigned to a Senate committee. I'm going to speak with President Pro Tem Senator DeLuca about getting that bill assigned and through committee, because I want that bill to pass the Senate in time for it to become enacted this year. Next bill that we discussed with some concern was House Bill 370. This bill has been essentially introduced and promoted by the three county clerks of the peace, including our clerk of the peace, George Parrish. I spoke with Mr. Parrish, and he explained that the bill had really been originated in New Castle County, So I've put a call in for their clerk, Mr. Ken Bolden. Haven't heard back from him yet. And the reason I'm concerned about that is because this bill, if it were enacted, would require us to budget for $12,500 worth of investment into a new program that would set up this authority to register clergy folks who would be doing marriage ceremonies, and then the fees that we discussed last week would come back to us to offset that cost. So there's definitely a financial equation in here, and if Mr. Baker wanted to speak to that, he can, because I know that he has some knowledge about this.
Now, you're talking about House Bill 352 House or
Bill
370?
House Bill 370
okay.
Is the bill that would require everyone who performs marriages to be registered with our clerk of the peace.
The only knowledge I have about it is that from what Mr. Godwin said, and I know Mr. Parrish did talk about it a little bit a month or so ago when we were to the Budget Committee as something that they were looking at and they were considering. But at the time, we did not have a bill or anything to really look at.
It appears that Mr. Bolden will be able to enlighten me some more, but I know that we want to come back to you before we take a position on this bill as to how the financial side of this equation will work. You certainly should have the opportunity to weigh in on that, since it's essentially a fee that would come to the county and an investment that's being requested from the county. So I don't have all the information I need on that one yet. I expect to hear from Mr. Bolden this afternoon.
Did you say $12,500 to set it up?
Yeah.
Excuse me? How much to run it?
I don't have all the arithmetic again. Yeah, okay. What George told me was that we would be expected to contribute $12,500 for software and to set up the administration of this system, which would register clergy and then collect fees. So I'm expecting that $12,500 would be
initial
computer programming and maybe a price of a computer. Mm-hmm. Newcastle County was supposed to put in $50,000. So I just don't have a clear vision yet as to how all the dollars and cents work. And, of course, I'm going to stay quiet about this bill in the legislature until I have direction from you, which would, be the way we do business. I'm going to make sure I have your...
Mr. President, didn't we discuss this last week about... and then we had a consensus here that wasn't necessarily in favor of this bill, that we thought it was more government. Isn't that what you said, Joan? I think it was your comment.
Yeah, I was concerned about that.
About more government.
I wasn't sure also whether this may just be a cleanup of something that has to be done anyway. Is it legally necessary to have that list, Mr. Moore?
Can you imagine a preacher has to come up and file every year, say he can keep on continue marrying and all that kind of nonsense, extra government involved and all that?
Yes.
In answer to your question, there were two parts of the proposed bill. One concerned registration of out-of-state ministers so that the clerk of peace would know that they were, in fact, ministers that would be allowed to perform the services, and then an annual fee for the local persons that could be paid once a year. And the impetus for this was a concern that some years ago they dropped keeping a list in the clerk of peace office of those who are qualified to perform the services. And I know there's been a great deal of concern about the amount of money that was being charged for this.
Well, I most people that do business or do something in this county or whatever your activity is, you need either a business license or some kind of permit or some kind of registration. So I think it's essential that we do know who's doing it, and so we have a registration of them and their qualifications to be able to perform these things. So next thing you know, we could have, Sam Wilson marrying people.
All right, now you made a comment.
Marrying Sam.
Yes, Mr. Wilson, go ahead.
Can I ask you a question? Do you believe in separation of church and state?
Yes, Sam.
Why don't you think the state's getting their nose a little bit under the tent in this deal here?
No, I think the institution of marriage and performing a rite of marriage
is paying the other way now, George.
Okay, whatever. I don't want to get arguing with you. I just think fee. Now I could argue with you or discuss with you the fee. Should it be zero? Should it be $200, whatever. But I'm just saying, I think people should register, and we see what their qualifications are.
I had no problem with the registering, but the problem is, fee every year, and it's and we're involved telling churches what to do and how to run their business. I'm pretty sure these people would be married just as much if the preacher was followed every year or not.
Mr. Godwin, you will continue to monitor this and bring us information in a timely fashion.
I trust that once I've had opportunity to speak with Clerk of the Peace Bolden from Newcastle County, I'll then get the genesis of where this bill came from.
Okay.
I have heard comments about there simply being a state license, like there would be a professional license for anyone else who has a business license. That's another alternative. But there is no legislation to formulate that yet. So
captains on ships and are no longer going to marry people aboard ship?
I don't know.
That's in his telegraph.
I don't know.
Who knows? That's what it is. I don't know. I got a little boat. I'll get out in the middle of the bay.
There you go.
Right.
I'll start
moving along.
A marriage chapel out in the middle of the bay.
Moving along to Senate Bill 208. This bill was one I discussed with you last week about cats and dogs. It has been stricken. So the sponsor has taken this bill completely out of the legislature. House Bill 194 still remains laid on the Speaker's table in the House of Representatives. This one we've had a lot of dialogue in, and I'm watching it daily. Our legal counsel, Mr. Moore, and I met yesterday and discussed two draft legislations that his office is working on now, which we'll bring back to you once they're drawn up. The first one is at the request of yourself. In Delaware Code Title IX, we're pursuing a one word to be changed under Section 6803, and I'll read to you where that word would come. Let me see if I can find it. It will change state representative district to council district. The sentence that we're going to make a change in says, the appointed members shall be residents of Sussex County, and no more than two members shall be appointed from the same representative district. We're going to petition that be changed to council district. So there's one ordinance that Mr. Moore's office is drawing up that would make that change in state code. And we're also pursuing developing another ordinance that would change our tax warrant date. Of course, this will be only with your permission and your direction. But there has been some concern among our staff to change our tax warrant date to align with our fiscal year, changing the date from 2/15 to June 30. This would then set our tax assessment year up on the exact same framework as our budget and our fiscal year are arranged. This, of course, will take some discussion once we have a formal ordinance written. That wraps up my legislative report for this week.
Mr. Godwin?
Yes, sir.
I see in your thing here about the change in the word representative to council district.
Yes, sir.
You referenced Planning and Zoning Commission. That also appears in our Board of Adjustment, too.
Yes.
Same wordings in Board of Adjustment.
But I think, Mr. Moore, didn't we find that we only needed to change the one word because it references through the code?
No, we looked at specifically the Planning Zoning Commission.
Right, okay.
So you will look at that as well from Board of Adjustments. Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Godwin, have you been talking to the representatives on this change about what the governor has proposed on taking away the row offices? Have you been?
We have. Sadly, Mr. Yeah. Baker has just had some communication with the governor's office, and he's prepared to talk to you about
it. In your office? Okay, I just wonder if you're dealing with these representatives, try to encourage them not to vote for it, too. I was wondering how they're looking at it.
Yes, Mr. Vincent and I were up in Dover last Thursday, I think, for a separate meeting. I went over to the General Assembly, and I talked to Jeff Bullock, who works for the governor's office as Secretary of State, and Greg Patterson. And what we found out is that they have been met with Newcastle County several times. And then after we inquired, they asked to meet with us. So we have a meeting scheduled this afternoon to go over this. And so we put together a list of concerns to review, such as how much and where are the cost savings. We are concerned regarding loss of revenue. And then another item was, why not just use a statewide uniform type software program for each office, like we do with libraries or or the dispatch centers, so instead of transferring responsibilities to the state. And then the other question is, why do they believe that the state could run these offices in a more efficient manner than the county? So we wanted to go over these with the state representative, with our state employees, staff that works for the governor first, and we'll be back to you. We can report to you next week if you like.
Well, we can also let them know we're not willing to change. We don't care what program they got. It's our program. We like it, and we think we can do it more efficiently. And we think that's taking by taking votes away from someone gives us what I'm trying to say here is that we have a lesser choose who we want to be in government, who wants to run this government. So why are we saying we can't elect people down here to run our departments? That's what I think we should keep it as it is. I don't see no reason to change. I don't care what kind of ideas come. I don't care what kind of software. It's all excuses. It's the same excuse they're using right now. We want superintendents and all these, one administrator for it all. What it does, it takes away all the rights of people to get to go out and vote for school board members, and it puts it all back in one person's hand. And if you don't watch it, we'll be back in the vote school right here, Vote Tech. It's called taxation without any representation. And that's exactly where we're headed. And I don't think we should take that direction. People are happy here. We're saving. It's a sneaky way of taking better than $2 million from this county, and then we'll pour another expense on. So I'm totally against it. I don't know how to. I think I can speak for part of this council.
Would you like to make that a motion?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Wilson makes a motion that we oppose any transfer of the authority of the Recorder of Deeds and the Register of Wills office. Is that encapsulated? Transfer any of that authority responsibility to the state. Is there a second? Okay, I guess we have a second. The floor is open for discussion. Okay, we'll take a vote. Ms. Deaver?
I'm not voting on this.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Very clear about that.
Thank you.
Next issue?
Yes, next issue is Councilman Cole and I were approached some months ago by one of our neighbors in Ocean View, Mr. Robert Whiting, and he would like to purchase some property from Sussex County that we currently are not using. We bought this piece of property in question, which is next door to Mr. Whiting, for our sewer district to install a pumping station. We have an operating pumping station on a small portion of this building lot. First of all, Mr. Whiting opened his discussion by offering us $25,000 for this lot. I enclosed in your package some facts that I've gathered in the process of setting up an analysis for you to make a decision as to A, whether we want to sell the property at all, and B, what will be the process. And I believe Mr. Moore will weigh in on the required processes that we would have to do if you chose for us to dispose of this property. First of all, we purchased this land in 1999 for $42,000. The total lot measures 75 feet wide by 342 feet deep. The County Engineering Department tells me that they must keep 75 wide by 75 deep in order to continue to operate efficiently the pumping station that the lot was purchased for. This could release as much land as 75 wide by 267 deep. However, the town of Ocean View would not permit that transfer, even if you decided to, because the town of Ocean View requires all building lots to be at least 14,000 square feet. So in order for us to accommodate Mr. Whiting's request, we would have to have a variance from the town of Ocean View to subdivide this lot into a smaller than required parcel, leaving us with our need of 75 by 75. So basically, there are two thought patterns here. One, if you wanted to sell this property to our neighbor, would you sell the parcel that would be permitted by the town, which would measure 155, or will we get the variance, which would allow us to sell the larger parcel, which would be 75 wide by 267. So you're going to see through these appraisals two sets of numbers. And the purpose for that is because if we could not get the variance, or I would recommend that possibly the buyer, Mr. Whiting, would pay for and do the variance, since it would be to his advantage to do it that way. So you're going to see through, we have two appraisals. You're going to see ribboned through both appraisals, two different appraisals. One would be a smaller lot, and the second appraisal would be for the larger piece if we were successful obtaining a variance from the town of Ocean View. Our engineering department also made one other recommendation, and that would be that there be some deed restrictions applied, possibly, to the parcel that we sell. One restriction would be that we would always have access to our parcel from all sides, and two, we want to make sure that anyone who purchased this property would not come back to us in the future with complaints of aesthetic value or a possible odor. While there is no odor on this property at this time, it is in fact a sewer pumping station. And history has it that on some occasions we do get complaints from neighbors, particularly if we have the system open and we're working on it. So those were two recommendations that came along with the approval from engineering to subdivide and perhaps dispose of part of this property. I wanted to point out to you that based on Mr. Cole and I's discussion about this some months back, we got an appraisal on this property from a local appraiser. I've included that in your package. It looks like this one, only it's in nice color, I think. You have color. And this appraisal, if you read, I know these appraisals are dry reading, but if you read the whole appraisal, every word, you'll find out that the appraiser used pretty sound calculations to quantify his numbers and his values. However, in that equation, of course, Mr. Whiting, who is the prospective buyer, he also got an appraisal done, which the numbers are quite different. So I would just, before you consider making a final decision, I would just suggest that you might want to read through every detail of both appraisals and form your own opinions as to which appraisal you feel is more valid, because they are vastly different. The purpose for today's discussion is simply to introduce this to you so that you can make the decisions as to whether or not we'll sell the property and what process we'll use in selling it. I believe the property is currently owned by the sewer district, so Mr. Moore could probably give us some guidance on what we would have to do if you chose to dispose of the property.
Well, like I say, Edward, why don't you give us advice on how you think is the best way to proceed if we did choose to sell property?
Sure. So. First thing we did was pull the deed, and in fact, it is deeded to the county as opposed to the sewer district. It's owned by Sussex County, a political subdivision of the state of Delaware. We looked through the county code, and I could not find any regulation or code section that addressed selling surplus property. So we went to the state code, and the state code is very clear on, for the state government, procedures they need to take in order to dispose of property. And I think that that would be a good guideline for us. And I think the first thing that, and the threshold question, is to determine whether or not this is surplus property. Is it something that we need or that we're never going to need? So I think that's the very first determination in determining this. Secondly, when I look at the state code, the state always looks to other political subdivisions within the state to see if they possibly would have an interest in the property prior to offering it to any individuals. And then if it's offered to individuals, it's always done at an auction that is advertised, so anyone that would have an interest in this property would have the opportunity to come and bid on it. In looking at this, although there's only one person that has made an offer on the property, it is possible after it's subdivided that there could be more than one, because it would be it is adjacent to more than one property. So maybe another property owner would also have an interest in this property if in fact it was determined that it was surplus and it was desirable to sell. So I would suggest that we would come up with a procedure to do that, similar to the RFP that we recently had on the one of the properties that we had at the airport property where we were selling a house. So, but come up with a procedure for selling.
I got some
Mr. Cole?
Thoughts here. Mr. Rizzo, could you come up, please, since you are our chief engineer and very familiar with the piece of property?
Yep.
And you had some comments based on Hal's report to us that the minimum amount you would require would be 75 by 75.
It might expand a little bit to like 75 by 100, but that's reasonable.
Okay, so somewhere in that range. So I would just suggest if we come up with a procedure that you write a letter or something that, to document that it is surplus,
sure.
In your opinion, because you are chief of the of that area, that it's surplus. The next thing would be, I guess you said we should go to an auction with it.
Yes.
Which I would concur, because right now Mr. Whiting is the only one who has approached us, so it hasn't been opened up to the public, so there's been no public exposure, so we don't know if there's anybody else mm-hmm. interested. Can we do sealed bid, or do we have to do like a live auction? Is there a number of ways we could do it? Or
I believe that there would be a number of ways that
okay.
you could do
but
it, as long as it was advertised in advance
okay.
and it was a clear procedure set forth.
Well, Dave, maybe you can come together after you get something from Mike and come and decide how we should do this, and then bring it back to us, and then we decide, do we want to do it? Should there be a minimum bid, you know, possibly? Should there be, like I said, how much exposure? And any costs that are associated with the transfer of this would be borne by the purchaser. So if it needs a variance, it would be the purchaser has to go and make the application, and then if it fails, then it's still our property, I guess, right, and things like that. Is there anybody got any other thoughts? Because I, you can see from the map how big the property is. We are cutting that area. It would, I'm sure your maintenance of it, you got to keep it looking nice.
That's really the reason why this has interest to us. We basically have been cutting the whole lot, cutting
could
grass.
Could you estimate what it, I mean, if you had to hire an outside landscaper to go cut that, what would that cost?
Well, we cut it once a week. And
that's probably
so,
what, 50 bucks?
You can look at the acreage, yeah.
At least 50 bucks for somebody to run it. So we're doing that once a week for 12, 15 weeks or whatever. And we've owned it how long?
1999.
So
that's when
we
Ocean
could,
View Sewer Construction
right,
was installed.
We could probably figure out how much it's been costing us for X number of years. So the money would go to the sewer district or back to the county?
Sewer district.
It would go to the sewer district, okay. And even though it's owned by us, he just said it's owned by the county.
Well, the funding came
okay.
through the sewer
okay.
district to purchase it.
Again, I don't have any dog in this fight, so I don't know. Speaking of dogs, if we were talking about earlier, is there any other thoughts on something like this? Because it is obviously we don't need it, right?
Yeah, we don't need it. Our only concern was we weren't real excited about the possibility of a residence being put there.
Well, it
doesn't
undersized.
Sound like that's feasible. When we had talked to Mr. Willing, and it's been a few years since I've spoken to him, his main thought, I think he wanted to put a garage back there, which was conducive with the way we operate the property.
We could put a deed restriction on it, Everett, saying that it could not, if it was purchased, it could not be used as a residence. We could even do that, right?
Absolutely.
Now, that would affect the value of it, because when you add the restrictions, you lessen the value sometimes, right? Is that
I'm not sure you'd have to do that, Councilman Cole, because this property, if we
doesn't
were to subdivide it, doesn't have access to the street except through an adjoining property. So it would be, I think, impossible for the town to give you a building permit to build a residence there.
Okay.
If it were joined all into Mr. Whiting's property, which is his plan, and he wanted to build a detached garage, that would probably be okay with the town.
Right. But, I mean, I don't see why we couldn't put the restriction in there anyway.
I would feel more comfortable with the restriction in there in case then it became part of another lot, reconfigured,
whatever.
And that was where they would put the structure. It'd be
okay.
better with it.
All right, so I know Mr. Whiting has been talking about this. He's called me a number of times, and it's in government. I've told him moves very slow. If we could maybe get this on a, now that we've brought it here in front of the council, is there any thoughts? Should we move forward on this effort, or should we just kill it right now so that we can?
One other thought that just struck me. If the property were to be acquired by one of the two other possible joining property owners.
Rear property owner. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Three.
They might want to include it as part of a major subdivision, because one of the joining property owners is a sizable 20-some acre piece of land. So maybe we shouldn't restrict it from being residential, because if it were part of a major subdivision, there could be a home placed on it with a driveway going out the back. So that might be another thought. You might.
The only thing I think you alluded to in your presentation was the concern of the odors. It is a sewer substation,
correct.
Whatever it is.
That's correct.
We should then still put a restriction there, minimum setback from that property line. If we whatever we decide, we want to keep a residence as mm-hmm. far as away, because we only have a 10-foot rear yard setbacks, that we could have somebody within 10 feet of our of this property line we establish, and then we get headaches and down the road. So again, we still, I think we need to approach it that way. But you're right, it could be included, but they could take the square footage possibly and get density
right.
in the town limits
yeah.
right. and not have to really put
it. If it became adjoined with one of the properties to its rear.
Who was the property owner to the rear?
I don't have the name.
Tim Ray, okay, right, okay.
Well, absent, Mr. Vincent, please.
Are we talking about developing a plan on how we would dispose of excess property or just this particular item here?
At this point, it would be this particular property, but we would need to look at a procedure that could be then used in the future.
Because didn't you say in the state's procedure they look at local entities first?
Yes, they would.
I think we should do the same thing.
Yeah, I got no problem with that.
It's a town with Ocean View, whoever it is, or somebody else. It's
part of the problem in this case, though, there is no separate access to this property.
But yeah, I just think we're going to set up, if we're going to develop a procedure, we should just develop a procedure and be done with it.
And if we do, we're going to use the state as a guideline, frankly.
Well, absent any council's objection, I think the consensus is to move forward in investigating the possibility of disposing of this property at the highest value that we can obtain. With the guidance of our legal staff and administration.
Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
What's he going to do with it?
We're broad on it.
What's he going to do with it?
Well, if the person who's been interested, he just wants to put a garage.
Detached
garage or something like that.
In your package on Friday, I also included a few copies of adequate public facility ordinances that you had mentioned you'd like to see. What I tried.